We talk about on this program of being financially fit, being able to make the right decisions about your home, your family, and your finances. That means that there's a certain amount of an education level that is needed to do those things. And unfortunately, many of us just simply weren't ever given the right education. Let me just again read what financial literacy means to you, or should mean. It is the ability to understand how money works in the world, how someone manages to earn or make it, how that person manages it, money, how he or she invests money, and how that person donates money to help others. Does that sound like you? Does that sound like the person you are? And if not, then listen very carefully to my next guest. Rod Griffin is director of public education for Experian. He is responsible for Experian's National Consumer Education Program and supports the company's community involvement and corporate responsibility efforts. And he speaks regularly at regional and national financial literacy events and supports various national consumer education initiatives, including the Life Smarts Consumer Knowledge Competition, for which he serves on the Corporate Advisory Board. So he knows a thing or two about financial lit. And first of all, let me welcome you, Rod, to the program. Nice to have you on the show.
Well, Paul, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And in your experience, are those the kind of people that you're finding? I've read what financial literacy is. Are you finding people represent that example?
What I find is people want to be that example, but often are struggling to get the information they need to be that example. And I think that's why we do what we do. We want to help people be able to manage their finances well and be successful. So yeah. I think there's a lot of desire to get there, but a lot of not understanding how to get there in some cases.
We just don't have the basic knowledge as yet, or at least some of us do. I don't paint everybody with the same brush. Obviously, there are many people that are financially literate, that are financially fit, that listen to the show, that know what they're doing. But the problem that I have is so many people don't know. They simply don't have any idea. They weren't trained. They go to school. They come out. Rod, they don't even know how to balance their checkbooks. And no one knows that any better than folks with Experian. Explain what Experian does.
Sure. Experian is the company line is we're the world's largest information services provider. So we do information globally. But in the U.S., we're best known as one of the three national credit reporting companies. So we collect information about how people manage their credit accounts from lenders and other sources. And then when you apply for credit, we share that credit report to the lender, and they use it to help them decide whether or not you qualify. So the credit reports that we collect and maintain are probably one of the most important financial documents that anybody has.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, people don't look at them. You can get a free copy once every 12 months. But we find that less than half of people who are eligible to get that free report actually do.
It's amazing. Less than half actually do. And let me suggest to you, and through no fault of Experian, half of those of the half that do don't know how to read it, can't read what they get in front of them. We've done some studies here. We've got people. I've got my credit report, but I'm not sure I understand just exactly what it says here. I'm looking for my credit score, and I don't see it. Rod, they don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah, and when you get it from Experian, I will tell you this. When you get it directly from Experian, you go to, and you can get it free, again, at www.annualcreditreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go there, you'll find a mailing address. You can also write or call. There's a telephone number, and unfortunately, I haven't committed them to memory. But go to that website. And when you get your report from Experian, we put it in a form that's very easy to read, very easy to understand.
You do.
And so it's not like looking at the copy the lender gets. When the lender gets it, they get the same information, but it's formatted in a way that is really designed for computer analysis and that sort of thing. So it can be really confusing to look at. So if you get your personal report, it's plain English, like reading a book. Entry says this is your account, the name, who owns it, how much your balance is. Much, much easier to read and understand.
And again, I don't mean to paint. You're right. We've often had folks who have complained that we've sent them to your plain speak examples because it does make a difference. And by the way, let me also say this. We're talking with Rod Griffin, director of public education for Experian. For those of you who think that the Experian folks sit in some dark place waiting to get you, That is not their role. That is not what they're about. I mean, that's not what you do. You have to make reports based on accurate information. But it's not about waiting to make sure that you screw somebody over when it comes to their credit report, is it?
No, absolutely not. Actually, you know, really just the opposite. You know, the credit report is a tool that helps lenders make loans to actually more people than they otherwise would be able to, because it helps them assess risk effectively. And it really should be a tool everybody uses. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be any surprises that when you go in to apply for a loan, you can get your credit report in advance, you can see credit scores. You should be able to walk in and know exactly what to expect and use that as a financial tool. And lenders want to loan money. That's how they make money. And they want you to be a customer, and you want to get the credit that you need, and we want to facilitate that. It really works for everybody that it's actually the reverse. We want to help people get the credit they need because it's good for everyone involved.
Hey, folks, this is very simple, and I want you to listen because you're talking directly to someone who works at one of those reporting stations, who's telling you how they operate and how they do what they do. And he's also, when he comes back, going to tell you the importance of being financially literate, why it is important that you understand your credit rating and how the system works. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Barry. My guest is Rod Griffin. He is Director of Public Education for Experian. He is responsible for many consumer educator related programs here. And he joins us now because we're talking about the basis of this is Financial Literacy Month, April. It is a time for you to better educate yourself, to have a better understanding of how the system works that you use every day to spend, to make and spend your money. Rod, from your perspective, what is the most important things that people need to know here? And the importance of financial literacy from your perspective?
Well, from my perspective, working in the credit reporting industry, you know, I would say that one of the most important things they need to understand is what a credit report is and how it works for them to help them be financially successful, and to understand what credit scores are and how they work, and to use them as a financial tool. And you know, that's something that most people struggle with, at least in understanding what credit reports are and how to engage in that system.
Okay, and what they are really is just a representation of my behavior when it comes to my credit. Is that fair?
That's true, yeah. It's your credit report is simply a record of your credit transactions, your financial relationships, and how you're managing them. And everything there in a credit report will be debt-related, so credit card accounts, mortgage loans, auto loans, and how you're paying them, whether you're paying them on time or if you're late or if you have public records like bankruptcy or a civil judgment, you owe a debt through the court, or you haven't paid your taxes, you can see a tax lien. And that's pretty much all there is in a credit report. And lender's going to look at that to see if you've paid your other lenders well, and if you have, you'll probably pay them well too. And that's really the fundamental way the system works.
And how can I help myself when it comes to my credit report? What do I need to do to stay on top of where I am? Do I need to check it? Do I need to kind of ignore it? Do I need to call you? Do I need to write to you? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm doing, I'm talking about the consumer, everything that I can do to make sure I've got the best possible record?
Sure. Don't ignore it. That would be like the worst possible thing you could do. Get a copy. We're just talking about the fact you can get a copy of your report from Experian and the other two national credit reporting companies free once every 12 months. And you can do that online at www.annualcreditreport.com. I don't think I can say that enough. And you'll see exactly what's in that report. You'll be able to identify any issues you might have. There are some fundamental things that you always have to do to have good credit. One, you have to pay your bills on time every single time. Your credit history, your payment history, mm-hmm. is the most important element in credit scores, and so that's going to have the first effect on a credit score in the report. The other thing you have to do is keep your balances low on your credit cards. If you pay your bills down, keep them as low as you possibly can. The lower, the better. The better your credit scores will be, and the better you will better luck you'll have in getting credit when you need it, or not luck at all. You'll be able to qualify for the credit you need. What people ask all the time is, do I have to carry a balance on a credit card? And the answer is no, you don't. Ideally, if you use your credit card, you would pay the balance in full each month. That would be the best thing you could do. What we find is that people with the very best credit scores have what we call utilization rates, or their balances as compared to their limits, of a less than 10%. So if you have a credit card with a $1,000 limit, the people with the best scores would have would carry a balance of no more than about $100.
Okay, and from your perspective and experience, how are we as Americans doing across the board? Are we well over that number? I know that the amount of credit that we owe is pretty substantial.
It is significant, and the average credit score in the U.S. is the Vantage score. We just did a survey not too long ago. Is 669, which is not prime. You talk about credit scores, to have what we think of as prime credit scores, very good credit scores, are going to be above 700, usually 720, 730.
Okay.
So, average scores are okay, not great.
How difficult is it to move that number up or down? I guess down, if I don't pay, it goes pretty quickly. But how about improving my credit score? If it's 669, I want it to be 700. Can I get there in a year? Can I get there in less time?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
The answer to every single credit reporting question is it depends.
Okay.
And if you have a 669, we have 220 million people with credit reports, and they're all unique. And so, someone who has, who's a young person, a millennial in their mid-20s, may have a different set of circumstances than someone like me who's used credit for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do and how long it would take would just depend on your situation. But yes, if you do the right things, you could see your credit scores improve relatively quickly.
Rod, from the perspective of Experian right now, when we look at the fact that understanding from a financial literacy point of view, we have college kids coming out, as you know, with tremendous debt. And I mean, when you're not making any money, 20 grand is tremendous debt. So what's happening here from your perspective? How do you all look at this and how do you read this? I mean, these kids are starting out with some pretty ugly credit, aren't they?
Well, not necessarily. And I kind of throw myself in the same boat 25, almost 30 years ago when I went to college. I graduated and I had $25,000 in student loan debt myself. So that's about the average debt today.
Right.
So, yes, that's a lot of money. But the majority, and the studies show that the majority are doing okay in managing those debts. But I think it goes to the overall, again, level of financial literacy that we're talking about. We just did a recent survey, and we found that millennials, the majority, about 71%, consider themselves knowledgeable about credit, but more than half don't know what their credit card's interest rate is. They don't know what their spending limits are, so they haven't done any budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how much they can spend. And almost 30% have maxed out their credit card. So you couple that with student loan debt, and it's a recipe for at least serious problems.
Yeah, that's a heck of a place to start from. If we consider, graduation exactly that, a starting point for these young people. When I come back, I want to talk about how they should handle this because I think looking for jobs and dealing with and I'll give a perfect example of exactly what I'm talking about. My guest is Rod Griffin. We're thankful for him for coming here to talk with you. He's the director of public education for Experian. Getting through this period for young folks can be difficult. We'll talk about that a little bit and some other things. This is Home and Family Finance on this April Financial Literacy Month. It is. We'll be right back. Stay with us. My guest, Rod Griffin, Director of Public Education for Experian. We're talking about, of all things, this month of April, Financial Literacy Month. And Rod, if I may, what, from your perspective, does Financial Literacy Month mean?
Financial Literacy Month just is an entire month devoted to really helping people understand the importance of being in control of their personal finances and learning how to take control of their personal finances. So gaining knowledge and listening to shows like this can help them be more successful. And that's what we're in business to do. I think you and I are both committed to helping people become more successful.
Absolutely, and it's good to feature. I know one of your organizations that you represent started this some 20 years ago, you said, right?
Right, the Jumpstart Coalition for Financial Literacy was founded in the late 1990s, and Experian was actually a founding member of the Jumpstart Coalition. It's still very active today, and they initiated the concept, and then in 2004, the Senate passed a resolution making it official. So April has since then been National Financial Literacy Month.
Well, I think it's a great idea, obviously, based on what we do, and I know that you're busy doing the consumer education aspect of it, too. But let me get back for a moment to the millennials. I want to give you an example and have you tell us how this young man, and I'm going to talk about one of my children, graduated from college. We have three. He's graduated, and he has a student debt of maybe $3,000 or $4,000. I don't know what the number is. But here's the problem. He had a job coming out of college, all set up, but the job fell through because he couldn't get a visa to his job in London. So he's been looking for a job since that time. He received a collection letter from the school that says, we want to get our money back from you because you owe it to us. And he doesn't have a job. Now, he does have dad, but he doesn't want to rely on dad and my money. So what does he do? What does he do here? Rod,
student loans,
he's just one. I'm using him as an example. Yeah. A lot of kids have they don't have jobs. They would pay if they could. What do they do?
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. With student loans, they do have some advantages. I guess you could think of them as advantages, but alternatives that he may be able and others may be able to take advantage of. The first thing to do is talk to your lender. Okay. Ask them if there are alternatives. Can it be deferred? Could it be, could there be a hardship deferment? Could you consolidate the loans and perhaps at a longer term with a lower interest rate that would help you maintain those payments over time? So talk to the lender, see what the alternatives are, because with student loans, especially with student loans, there are often alternatives that aren't available for other types of loans that might help you get through that rough time. So always talk to the lender first.
And I think that's what he just said, and I knew you were going there. Talk to the lender. Talk to folks. Don't ignore. Don't put that letter on the desk and stick it under something and hope it's going to go away. It doesn't go away, does it?
It does not go away. And if you're late on those payments, it's going to be part of your credit report for at least 7 years. So it's going to be there quite a long time.
So if you are late, folks, on your payment, even now, 22, 23, 24 years old, just out, and you can't pay it, and you don't pay it, it's going to stay there until you're at least 30. That's a scary part, but that's the way it works, doesn't it?
It is, and it's a record of how you've managed your debts, and that's fundamentally, if you're unable to pay one lender, you're probably going to struggle to pay others as well, and that's why they'll look at a credit report. Mm-hmm. If you're paying your existing lenders well, you'll probably pay them well. Just sort of the human nature at a very basic level. But talking to the lenders doesn't hurt your credit report, and it might help in the long run.
Absolutely. Give us the big picture, Rod. We're talking with Rod Griffin, Director of Public Relations for Experian. He's one of three of the credit reporting agencies operating in this company. From your perspective and from that of Experian, are we getting things going to get better? Are we going to get worse? Credit's going to get better? Credit's going to get worse? Where do you see this going?
I'm very optimistic that people are becoming more knowledgeable, and we have the opportunity, and I have the opportunity to talk to more and more people all of the time, and there's a huge desire to engage with my company and the people that work here and to understand what we do and how they can, how as a consumer you can drive that. And so I think we'll get better. As the economy, recently we saw a downturn. We've seen that start to come back. Delinquency rates decline. People actually started saving more.
Thank you, Rod. Rod Griffin, Director of Public Education for Experian, my guest. Come back and see us again soon, and we'll be back next week, same time, same place. Put some of this into action. Think about Financial Literacy Month. What can you learn? How can I learn it? What should I do? That's what it's all about. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. We'll see you next week.